going to have our first reading, page 1062 in the Red Bibles in the pews, which Helen is kindly going to read for us. Thank you.
Luke chapter 24, beginning at the 33rd verse. As the two disciples who met Jesus on the Emmaus Road returned to Jerusalem. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While he was still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. The ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord.
So please, this, we're going to have a second reading, which Robert's going to do for us. No, wrong Rob. Robert is going to do for us, but I think Robert is going to do the third reading. We have three short readings. Thank you very much. Confused everybody.
First Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 8. "Now, brothers, to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And third reading, which Robert is going to do for us. Thank you. It's 1 John 1, and you may want to leave that passage open when we've had it read to us.
"That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we claim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and he has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete.
Thank you very much. Now I'm going to need a volunteer, preferably someone under the age of 13, but it doesn't really matter if you are not. And what you're volunteering to do, so you get the message, is to eat an egg. It's a Cadbury cream egg. So don't all rush. But there are some conditions. The first condition is that you have to come up the front to eat this and sit at this table. And you have to look me in the eye and you have to listen as I present you with this egg. And we shake hands before you sit down and eat the egg at the table. So do I have any volunteers? Anybody like to come and eat an egg? Do I see a volunteer at the back there? Would you like to come? No, he's not keen. Anybody else? Ah, well, well. Here's a good-looking 13-year-old.
13 and a few months.
And a few months.
747.
Right. Now, stand up for a moment. I've got to present you with this egg, right? I want you to look me in the eye, okay, as I present you with this egg. Here you are, Steve. I present you with this egg. You have done nothing whatsoever to deserve it, but I'd like you to sit down and eat this egg when I tell you to. All right?
Thank you.
And shake me warmly by the hand.
Thank you.
Please sit down. Oh, there's one other thing, a condition I forgot to mention. You have to do it blindfold, as you might expect. While you eat this egg, when I tell you to, I'm going to sit opposite you, and I'm going to make sure you're not peeping, all right?
Yeah.
And it may just be your egg is there. I didn't give it to you. All right. Are you able to unwrap it, or would you like me to unwrap it for you? Now, he's quite clever, this. For a 13-year-old, he's doing quite well. Hold on. While you eat it, well, I might just have a bite to eat myself, but that won't bother you, will it?
Not at all.
Not at all. I hope that would be the case. All right. I'll tell you when to start. Would you like to start now? Is it good?
Yum, yum. In my tongue.
He's quite well mannered, really, isn't he? Trying to lick your fingers? Excellent. Now, would you like to stay there just for a moment?
Yep.
Shall we undo his blindfold? Yep. Undo blindfold. All right. There we are. Now, I'd like one person from this congregation to come up the front and to tell Steve what it was that I did whilst he was blindfolded. Would you like to come up? Come up, come up here. What did I do while he was blindfolded?
You ate a
daffodil.
I
ate a daffodil. Really?
Ate a daffodil.
Ate a daffodil. Do you believe that?
No. No one ate
that. I'd like two more people who saw what I did to come up front and say what it was that I did. Could I have two more volunteers? Jonathan, thank you. How very kind. Anybody else come up and say in chorus? Yes, Wendy will come. Thank you. This is good. This is good. And you can say in chorus exactly what I did. Wait for Wendy, please. Let's get this in unison. So together.
You ate a daffodil.
Amazing. Now, I'd just like all the congregation, so we can be certain about it, would all the congregation stand and simply say what it was that I did? Say he, rather than you, he and what it was I did. Together?
He ate a daffodil.
Thank you very much. Now, you might want to go and sit down. Yeah, thank you very much. You've done your bit, yes. Well done. Now, what you've just heard is evidence. You see, evidence is what people say they have seen, or heard, or done, or experienced. For court purposes, when you give evidence, the person has to swear an oath, or affirm. So when they get in the witness box, they get a Bible or a holy book, and they say, I swear by Almighty God, the evidence that I shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Or, I do solemnly, sincerely, truly declare and affirm that the evidence I give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if you were to give evidence in a written statement, that would be in an affidavit. And in the affidavit, the written document, you'd set out what you've seen, heard, experienced or done. And you would say, when you came to swear the affidavit, pointing to your signature at the bottom of the statement, I swear by Almighty God, that is my name and handwriting, and the contents of this my affidavit are true, and these are the exhibits referred to in the affidavit. Or a solemn, sincere declaration. And that's evidence. Sometimes it's referred to as testimony. So when a person goes into a witness box and gives evidence, he testifies. And when any person speaks about what they've seen, heard, done, or experienced, they testify, they give testimony. Now, I wonder if you noticed the words in our reading that we eventually got from 1 John chapter 1. And you wrote this in 1 John 1 verses 1 to 3. He said, what we've seen with our eyes, what we've looked at, what we've touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. We've seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you eternal life. We proclaim what we have seen and heard. So do you see what this friend of John, of Jesus, John is actually saying? He's saying he's testified to everything that he's actually seen and heard and touched and experienced. That's what we're talking about. And he said it more than once, so you may have picked it up. In verse 1, we heard, we've seen, we've looked at, our hands have touched. This we proclaim. Verse 2, we've seen it and testified to it. And verse 3, we proclaim what we've seen and heard. So that's evidence. Now, our willing volunteer, Steve here, he could testify to looking me in the eye, to hearing me speak, to shaking my hand, touching, and he could testify to the fact that he's eaten an egg. But all of you lot, you could tell others not just about what he saw, but also about something else that you saw, which was me eating a daffodil. That would be evidence. You could go into court and say exactly that. If one of the Sunday Club members, let's take Lucy for example, Lucy goes home, her dad isn't here at present, he may turn up later, he often does, but supposing she went home and she said to her dad, you know that old codger up the front who speaks from time to time, do you know what he did today? He ate a daffodil. And her dad probably said, don't be silly. People don't do that sort of thing. I know he's a bit of a twit that broke up the fun, but no, he wouldn't do that. And then supposing Marcus had been here, and Marcus came in later, and he said to him, you know what, Dad, that bloke up the front, he ate a daffodil. And Tim, her dad, would probably say, And he'd be a bit suspicious. He thinks perhaps they'd got together just to cobble this story up to make a joke and deceive him in one way. But then, supposing their grandparents had been here, and the grandparents came home, and said exactly the same thing. And immediately following that, all of you lot tripped him through the front door and said, he ate a daffodil. Well, he'd know the people here, and he'd know that by and large they're a reliable lot. They're not blind, they're not deaf, and they're not easily deceived. And so he ought to believe it, shouldn't he? So let me just read to you again what Paul said later on, a few years after Jesus had died. He says this, Christ died, was buried, was raised from the dead, appeared to Peter, to the 12, then to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, some of whom are still living at the time of this, then James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, to me. So he doesn't mention everybody who saw Jesus after Jesus came back from the dead. We had a few more people, didn't we, in the reading from Luke 24. Did you notice that it wasn't just the 11 disciples, there were others with them who saw Jesus when he came in, and he ate, and he touched them, and they saw him, they heard him, and he explained to them why it was he had to die. He had to die so that they could have life, so they could be forgiven, so they could know God. And all of those people could testify. They could give evidence as to what they'd seen and heard of the Jesus they had met. And all of them were people who thought truth was really important. Jesus had taught them that. They were reliable people who wouldn't lie. And they were prepared, many of them, to die for saying what it was they'd seen, heard, and experienced. Now, old Steve here, he missed out. He didn't see me, said Daffodil. I hope he didn't hear me doing so either. He was very well mannered himself. But you could all tell him. You could all give evidence about what it was you'd seen. And Paul said that he, in fact, had met Jesus some years after Jesus had in fact risen from the dead and gone back to heaven. And he'd met him in a rather different way because he'd had this vision on the road to Damascus. But Jesus has appeared to many millions of Christians since. Not in that way, in a different way. They read the evidence, as we've had it read to us this morning, from people who wrote it down, who had seen, who had heard, who had experienced what Jesus had done. And so Jesus speaks to us in those words and gives us that evidence for us to accept. And he wants us to accept that evidence and put our faith in him. He says we're blessed, we're happy, if we believe without having actually seen him in the same way as those original disciples did. Now what was it that he actually said in that letter we wrote in 1 John about what it was that they had seen and heard? I wonder if you noticed. It was someone who was from the beginning. Someone who had always been there. Before Jesus actually came to the earth and before he left it again, he had always been there. He was God himself. For a while, God himself was here on the earth, is what John is saying. And we saw it and we heard him. And we touched him, and we experienced his life as we believed in him. And so John describes him as life eternal, the word of life, the one who gives life, the one who means life. He gives them eternal life, and that can't be taken away. And finally, John finishes by telling us why he's told us all this. It's so that we may have, the word is fellowship with God the Father, with Jesus, his kingly son, with John himself, and with all other Christian believers. And the word fellowship, it's a Greek word, but it means partnership. Partnership either in business or in a marriage relationship. That's the usual context in which the word is used. And so what John is saying is that God wants us to be partners with him in this life. In his team, if you like. But partners with him, partners with Jesus, partners with John himself, partners with all Christians down the ages. And what we're learning from this is that we can be partners with God because of Jesus. We can be forgiven as we turn to him. The gospel is preached, as Luke told us. for repentance and forgiveness of sins. And what does that do? It brings us joy. I wonder if you noticed that. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to make our joy complete. Our joy, all of us. His joy, John's, other Christian believers, our joy complete. And so the evidence is there. The evidence is important. And it means that Jesus really did rise from the dead. And he's alive. And we can have a partnership with him. We can be on his team. We can trust in him. We can testify to the truth of the fact that he's alive. And that's what Jesus tells us to do. There are plenty of people like Steve who didn't see it. There are plenty of people like Steve out there in the world. Steve is a great believer in Jesus now. He wasn't always. Many of us can say the same thing. Lots of people out there who don't know Jesus yet. And we can testify them to the truth that we have met with Jesus. We love him, trust him, and follow him. And that's what we're encouraged to do.